Turn in your Bibles, put up on the screen, Deuteronomy 33:25. We have a prayer day today, and we've been walking around in the room here and praying and worshiping and anticipating tonight, and also the marriage seminar this weekend, Friday night with the Tanksley family and myself, and then Saturday, Pastor Zeke and myself. So we'll have some good words, Lord willing. Deuteronomy 33:25 is a memory verse, and I think I'm going to have you read it and think about it for a minute. And it might stick in your heart. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Okay, that last part is the part that has stuck in my heart for years. As your days are, so shall your strength be. Sometimes we think, you know, I am not prepared, and that God will show up later, and I will have strength later. And that's true. Many times we see God move regardless of ourselves. But this looks like it has something to do with my everyday living. As your days are, so your strength will be. Do you see it? Okay. What if in my days, as a habit, I live with anxiety and fear? Is that Roger back there? Roger's from Turkey. Good to see you. Came from Turkey. Just for this meeting tonight. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's say every day I live with some deep anxiety, something in my heart or my mind that troubles me a lot. And I have this kind of, like, I live with this anxiety. They say in America, it is our primary mental illness today is anxiety. Worry is another word for it. It happens to us. We'll speak about it tonight a little bit later. But we're going to speak tonight about how I can live every day, and I'll be surprised at the strength I have. It's true. If I can live without fear and anxiety and worry, you and I will be amazed at how much strength we'll have in life. It's amazing. So read the verse again with me, the second part of it. As thy days, say that, as thy days. All right, now let's say you got bad days, worrisome days, fearful days, periods in your life where they're just not good days. So what is your strength? So shall your strength be as your days. Now, don't be introspective, because there's a context here. And we'll learn from this verse. So, as thy days. What if the Holy Spirit, and by your effort in your faith, by meditation, by deliberately thinking the right thoughts or thinking truth in your heart as a way of life? What if as you have those days, so it will define for you your life? And you just say, wow, life is awesome. Life is awesome. I heard recently about a teenage girl who was in school and amongst her friends, they were surprised when they asked her, like, "What are you depressed?" And the girl said, "No, I don't think I've ever been depressed." And they were like in shock, like, "You've never been depressed?" I think we are as a culture, like, thinking about so many things that we worry about that take our strength away and bring confusion and stress. Panic attacks, like, I don't know if maybe you've had one of those, but I read a little bit about it recently, how much they are on the increase, panic, anxiety, fear. How this is like a much more common thing than it was earlier. So, this service is, and we have two brothers from Bible school that are going to share short messages, and then I'm going to wrap it up. But it's something that, just in a word, I know. How you can live. I know how you can live. I know how you can, and I see it. I know how you live. I know how you can live. I know that we are learning how to live, and we don't have those things. We can have them, but we are applying ourselves. We are learning and applying ourselves to what we hear. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to satisfy us. And we can walk through things. It's like Psalm 18, leap over a wall, run through a troop, bend a bow of iron with our arms, not turn back in the day of battle, stand tall, have conviction, have peace in your heart, and not be afraid. That's amazing, isn't it? Okay, so here's the last part of this introduction. Oh, it's in the other folder, that blue folder. Is it the recent one? Thank you, bear with me. Oh, it's not here. Oh, there it is. Okay. All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never, never sink a ship unless it got inside. All the hardships of this world might wear you pretty thin, but they won't hurt you one least bit unless you let them in. This is our message tonight. It's like, it's not going to get under my skin. This world and what is happening, it's not going to steal from me what I have. What we have is growing, and it's going to grow. And as our days are, so our strength will be. So we have started now the battle that we are in for our hearts and our minds. It's a way of life, so that's it. Okay, amen. So welcome, Jesse Fires.
Hello, everyone. It's such an honor to be here. This afternoon, Pastor Steve came up to me and said, Pastor Schaller would love if you would share a little bit about be anxious for nothing. And I really quickly got anxious about it, you know. It's like, oh, my gosh. But thank God for the brothers and sisters who just point you back to God. And Lord, just bless these words and let it be your words and not mine. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you look up anxiety on the internet, it says anxiety is a feeling of fear, dread, and uneasiness. And I think I would be hypocritical if I would say I was never anxious before. And I think we all have been. We're all familiar with the feeling. And so it says anxiety is a feeling of fear and dread. And I think there's a really amazing paradox in the Bible that just opens our eyes. Verses in 1 John 4:18, if you would turn there. It says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And I was like, wow. But in if you turn to Revelation 12:11, it says, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. So it seems like maybe love can be the solution to anxiety. Like, why am I anxious? I can only be anxious about things I can lose or I think I can lose. I'm not anxious about things I am secure about. And Philippians 3, it says, I count it all as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Count it all as loss. And I had to realize myself, like, yes, I am anxious about things that I am proud of in my own little life. You know, we all have things. It's like, for like me, it was, for example, my reputation. Oh, like I gotta perform on a really good level, unless everyone will think I'm a failure and my reputation is going downhill. And there's where anxiety comes in. Oh my gosh, I have to perform, otherwise it's gone. I have a fear of losing my good reputation in front of people. But then I was meditating. I was praying for like months. God, what does it mean to count it all as loss? What does this mean? And just, I don't just have to bring things to the cross that are burdensome to me, but all who I am, my good things too that I am proud of. Paul was really, like, he said, if anybody could boast, that could be me. I was really great in the world. I was Pharisee of all Pharisees. I had lots of knowledge. I can boast about it. You know, I can be proud of it. He says, no, I count it all as loss. He, even if he took it, who am I? Who am I to be saying, no, I want to keep this. This is mine. God, just don't touch this. And when I realize, like, I give it all up for Christ, then I have nothing to lose. I'm not afraid of losing it because I already let it go. It's not mine. I can't lose it because I gave it up. And I think that just takes away the anxiety because I'm not afraid of losing it. In 1 John 4, it says, not been perfected in love. How? Romans 5:8 says that he showed us his love that while we were yet sinners, he gave his life for us. That is love. Like, am I being perfected in this? Am I being perfected in Christ? First Corinthians 13, we all know, you know, it's about love. Love is patient and kind, does not insist on its own way. Like, just these three things out of the whole chapter already gets me like, wow, I'm really bad at loving. They think I can love, but I don't. And every time I pray, God, teach me how to love, He gives me a person that I used to love naturally and then makes it really hard for me, actually impossible for me to love them from my natural self. Because why do I love people in my flesh? Because they give me something. They're kind to me. They are nice to me. And then I have the feeling, the sensation that I love them. But do I really? Like, do I not insist on my own ways? And then God just changes something. Like, they become not so kind to me, maybe. And I'm like, wow, I don't actually love them. I don't. But God helps me grow in love. And when I can learn, like when I grow in love and I'm perfected in love, my anxiety just dies out. And I just think that's just my meditation. I hope it helped you a little bit because it helped me a lot. And God bless you.
That was awesome.
Wow, that was beautiful. I got to follow that. I'm just going to expand a little bit on that thought. I mean, that's a beautiful thought, like surrendering. And it's not mine to begin with. I love that thought. Like, a lot of anxiety is because of what I can lose. But there's a sense of ownership, maybe. If I can lose it, I own it. But maybe it's not mine to begin with. But that it's God's to begin with. And if he decides to take it away, that it's his, and that he can do with it what he pleases. That's kind of what we learn about in Job, right? I think also, like, with anxiety, I thought about, like, a desire for controlling things. A lot of anxiety is a result of a lack of control, maybe. You think you have control over something, you don't have control anymore, and now you're anxious because it's not going the way you anticipated or desired. And that's another thing that we have to give to God, that He's in control. He's sovereign over situations, and that I don't own that situation. So it could be I feel like I own a situation, and I feel like I can control it, but actually it's God's, and I can let that go and give it to God. I don't have to necessarily feel anxious. But of course, our flesh is anxious, maybe. And maybe some of us have a problem with anxiety, and that could be a flesh issue. It's, of course, God, but it could be a flesh issue. And how do we deal with that? Maybe some of us have problems with it. And I think there's some practical things that we can implement. And we learned a little bit about this in Christian disciplines this past Monday, interestingly enough. But, surrendering it to God, what does that mean? How do I do that? If I'm in a situation and I'm anxious, how do I surrender that to God? And it could be, and I spoke about this also at a rap session one time in a lunch rap, but where if you think about waves and you think about shallow water and you have a storm and you have like the wind stirring up the waves, basically all the waves, if it's like maybe 6 feet of water, all of that depth is going to be chaos. All of it, the wind and everything is going to cause chaos in that 6 foot water. And you, if you're standing in 6 foot water or maybe it's 10 foot water, and you want to get into a still water, you can't go far. You can't. You're in chaos. But if you go out into the ocean and you have like, you know, 40, 50, you know, 100, I don't know, you know, 200 feet of water, and it's stormy and chaos on the top, on the surface, you have access. You have access to go deep. You have access to go into still water when you go deep. And that's similar to our walk with God, where we have access to this because of the Word of God and because of prayer, because of His Holy Spirit, we have access to that deep water. And we read that in Psalm 1, where it's a tree planted by living waters. The roots go out and it's fed, and so even in the year of drought, it's secure. It can feed on water, and that's exactly what we have access to. And it's just taking that moment, like practically, if you have a situation and you're faced with like kind of an uncontrollable anxiety or sense of dread about whatever, you could, I mean, prayer is like the most practical thing. And I think it's something that if I'm, you know, I've had my fair share of anxiety, and it's probably the last thing on my mind is prayer. But it's probably the most effective, because when there's chaos, and we see that in the example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's faced with a serious, you know, task, and he is feeling, his flesh is feeling maybe a little anxious or you know, apprehensive. I know maybe my flesh doesn't want to do this, but my spirit is leading me. My spirit is not anxious. And so when we take that time of prayer, and we see in the garden, the angel comes, and the angel comforts him. And that's like a picture for when we're dealing with anxiety. God will send his, sure enough, God will send his angel, and we can imagine an angel comforting us in a time of anxiety. And I think that these things that are kind of maybe, I mean, they might seem like, you know, Sunday school or like elementary, but they're actually really practical. And like, could it be that I take a second and I say, Lord, like, help me. Like, I don't know, I don't have control over my flesh. I can't control my anxious thoughts. My heart's pounding. My thoughts are racing. Lord, help me. We always have the ability to do that. And I think that's beautiful. Yeah. So let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you, God, for these beautiful words, these beautiful thoughts that you've given us, God, from your word, God. We want to treasure your word. We want to hold your word dear to us, Lord, that we would have access to this grace, Lord, that we would have access to this incredible stillness, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, and it's a gift, and we do not want to take it for granted. Lord, that when we're faced with, when we're no doubt going to be faced with times of anxiety or pressure or impending dread, these feelings of impending dread, maybe we have access to you. We don't have to feel those feelings, because you are giving us stillness, quietness, peace. Lord, help us and remind us, Lord, to use and utilize prayer, your word, and to access these greater depths of still waters, Lord. Yes, God. Thank you, Father, for who you are and your cross that has allowed this access, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, turn to Proverbs 29:25. What a beautiful evening here. I sense the spirit of peace and concentration. And as we listen to these brothers minister to our hearts, we rejoice in that a lot. Thankful. This verse, when I was in Bible college back many years ago, we would walk Dr. Stevens' home. He lived up on the hill. We were in the dorm and in the church, and we would walk a short distance up and say goodnight to him. And we hung around Dr. Stevens a lot. We would jump in the car. We would go, how many know what I'm talking about? Okay, so we were hanging around him, listening to him. And sometimes he would leave us with a Bible verse. And this was one that he left with us. It's Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. Whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. He never explained it to us. But we could think about it. The fear of man. Who was afraid of men? Who was afraid? Jeremiah, do not fear their faces. Jeremiah 1:17. Joshua, be very courageous. Joshua 1:5 through 8. Hezekiah, maybe when the Babylonians came and showed them all the, I read the other day that there was 25, listen to this, in the Holy of Holies, in that room, there was 25 tons of gold on the walls. You know, wow. Who feared men and how easy it is? And the fear of losing something, losing my job, being afraid of my boss, being afraid of a relative, being afraid of a friend or a critic. In the ministry, Spurgeon said that the slanderous reports from the press against his ministry was actually a kindness. It was a good thing for him to keep him humble and before God. But the press can be an enemy and powerful. You might find yourself in a situation where you really fear people. And it can happen. Elijah in 1 Kings 19 was extremely strong, very courageous, and then he ran away from Jezebel in 1 Kings 19:3. And the Bible says, we are men of like passion. We also get afraid. We also get emotional. We also get troubled. Avery said it well. If we can go deeper, it's quieter there. It's quieter there because God is a hiding place. God is truth. It's in our inner man, Psalm 51:6. Where we must learn tonight, I want to leave you with this thought, that where we are learning, it does take effort and training mentally, and we cannot be distracted, but have to take and set aside, or we are very busy. We are Americans, so we are very busy going to 3, 5, 7 different places, jump in the car and go. And we have children and grandchildren, and we have things to do and bills to pay and everything, but do not dwell in the shallow water where the storms are raging. I identified with what he was saying, and I think we've been battered on the beach, driven up on the beach by waves and storm. But you go out deeper and go underwater, and it's so quiet. And so Psalm 1 is a good psalm for this. And so turn there with me, please. As you turn there, we have the quotation here. Psalm 1, in just the first three verses. The word worry is derived from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. How well named the emotion, it has been demonstrated again and again in persons who have lost their effectiveness due to the stultifying effect of anxiety and apprehension. I may not be useful because I am driven by my own emotion, my own fears. And the fear of man means when Moses went to Pharaoh in Exodus 5, Pharaoh was strong and Moses could be afraid. And then after he left Pharaoh and he met the elders, the Jewish elders, they discouraged Moses and said, Moses, you're causing more trouble. Now we have to make bricks without straw. Because of you. It's the end of Exodus 5. Moses could say, I quit. You don't care about me. I don't care about you. You think I like going to Pharaoh? I quit. I'm not going to Pharaoh anymore. I'm done. This is so common and so easy for us as people. We quit our marriages, we quit our families, we quit our jobs, we quit our church, we quit God, we quit the trial, we quit so many things because we're in shallow water. But Psalm 1 says it this way, Psalm 1 verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." How many, my daughter owns a hairdressing business, and she's amazing, by the way, and what a great team of people they have and how much they minister to people. It's amazing. But I also know that it's so possible that we could get counsel in a hair salon that is ungodly. You know, what do my girlfriends tell me? Or what do my guy friends tell me? What's the newspaper tell me? What's on the what's socially trending? What's on the social media? What is everybody doing? Oh, I can't believe the likes and dislikes are going to affect me emotionally. Are you kidding me? How deep are you? Like, you're disliked on social media, and you're upset, and you're distressed, and you have anxiety and worry and fear. That's just a good indication of a great need that we have as people. And that's deep water. That's depth. That's God. And make an effort to find God, to relate to God, to worship God. Make an effort to lay those things before him, like Hezekiah laid the letter before God and said, "God, they said they're going to destroy us. What do you say?" And the Lord said, "They're not even going to shoot an arrow against the walls of the city. They're going to be done. They're done." And it happened. So I want to look at verse 1 here. It says, next, "Not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." All Christians are like that. All Christians are like that. Everybody in greater grace. Nasty. Nasty. You know, they're scornful. What? Look at the words. We have walking, verse 1. Walking, next word, verb, standing, and the next one, sitting. What's not covered when you're sleeping? But every other part of your day, when you are walking, when you are standing, when you are sitting, there's ungodly influences around us. It drives people to fear and worry and anxiety. It's ungodly. I fear what Jesus said, "Take no thought for what you're going to eat." That's crazy. Jesus is saying it with a free spirit. Take no thought. Don't worry about it, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Your heavenly Father knows. Whoa. That's radical. What's he saying? Our sin nature is so much gravitating to people, what they say about us, what they think about us. We're so gravitated because of our sin nature to our personal needs, our reputation that was mentioned. And Jambor said that the love of God, the love of God casts out fear. 1 Corinthians 7:32 says that we are carefree. We have a sense of humor. We can laugh at our mistakes. We can laugh at ourselves. We're not worried about things like other people. We have God. Many times in the third world countries don't have anxiety. They're fishing for lunch, literally. They're fishing on a seashore to eat lunch. Literally, that's how they live. We're a first world country, and we're worried about many things, you know. So verse 1, and I'll finish what says verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He loves it. He loves the word of God. Yeah, he loves it. He's thinking about it. He sets time aside to study it. He is starting to work in his body, works in his soul, works in his spirit. He is starting to work in him. It's a victory. It's a victory that he lives in every day. He has something that he processes in life. Then when he is hurt, he processes the hurt. And I'm not saying this like I don't want to sound mechanical, but I want to say that as we pay attention and apply ourselves to what we are learning and hearing, we are believing it. One writer said, it's kind of like learning golf. He said, you can see videos of golf, you can read about golf, you can handle a stick, a golf club, you can sit in your chair, and you can say whatever you want to about golf. But it doesn't mean much until you go out there and you hold it and you do it in your body, your muscle memory, and you practice and you practice and you practice. That's like the Christian life. Yes, I got to be more than just an exercise in my living room. It's got to be a way of life. It's got to be something processed in my heart. And it says here in verse 2, he delights in it. And verse 3, and he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. That has got to be the most incredible verse for any one of us. If you get this, I don't care what your job is. It doesn't matter what your job is. Doesn't matter. If you got that going on in your life, you will prosper. You'll have a smile. You'll have an attitude. You'll have a relationship with God. It doesn't matter what your job is. You can lose a job. It's okay. I will prosper. I've got God. God is with me. If God is for me, who can be against me? I will not fear what man will do unto me. I'm not afraid of men. I'm not afraid of my boss, my company, my country. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of people. I'm not afraid of criminals. I'm not afraid of bad people. I'm not afraid of what will happen to me. I'm not afraid. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Wow. It's like, practice your faith. Practice your faith. Practice the prayer. Practice faith. Apply it in your life. Learn to forgive. Learn to meditate. Learn to sing. Learn to praise God. Learn to go to church. Practice it. And keep going. And keep going. And you're going to be not just lit, knowing about the Christian life, but you're going to be able to play golf. You're able to actually, it happens, you know. You just play the, you're playing the game. You're living the Christian life. You are not anxious, afraid, worried, or troubled. You are living in the spirit and the mind of God. And it says right here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf will not wither. He will bear fruit in his season. And whatsoever he does, pumping gas, he ends up owning the gas station. I don't know how that happened. I don't know. Maybe it's just God's will. I've got God. And if I lost the gas station, I've got God. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Isn't that amazing? So that's our message tonight. God bless you. you're here tonight and you don't have Christ in your heart, we lovingly, persuasively, with great desire for everyone in this country to bow their knee before Jesus Christ and say, I need you. Come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sins and give me the new birth. I accept it. I believe in you. I have a little faith maybe. I've got my questions. I have doubt. But you can handle my doubt because you are God. I accept and believe in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.